Morning, I would like to talk to you concerning authority in religion. The definition of authority is the right or power to give commands, to enforce obedience, to take action or make final decisions. Jurisdiction. Secondly, the position of one having such power. Let us notice our need for authority in our lives. In fact, in every realm of life, of activity, whether it's the home or the school or the community, the military, we understand and recognize that someone must have legal or rightful power to rule and command and maintain law and order. If we don't have this, then only lawlessness remains. What would our streets be like without our traffic laws, stop signs, stop lights, rules that we must follow? Look at the standards of weights and measures when we go to the store and we buy things and we exchange goods for monetary value. Look at our monetary system. What would it be without that? How about our time system that we have to follow? Where we're at, we meet to work and to have various activities. In all other areas, we understand how important authority is. Surely then, in the most important transaction of all, the salvation of our souls, there is a need for some standard of authority. Why is it, though, that there are well over 300 major religious organizations, bodies in the United States alone that claim to follow Christ? Is it perhaps because a single standard of authority has not been recognized and respected and followed? Could this be why there is so much division and confusion in the religious world today? As we turn back in the pages of God's Word to an example of people turning away from God's standard of authority, we find God's people under the law of Moses, the Jews, in the same situation. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, we are told that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so you hear the same actions expressed today in the words, well, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere. But God intended the spiritual realm to be one in which a single standard of authority is recognized and respected. Therefore, he used such figures as army, body, family, and kingdom to represent that realm. God commands that we all speak the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He commands that we walk by the same rule in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Yes, to find that standard or rule and to walk by it is one of man's greatest missions. Many will be rejected in the day of judgment for lawlessness or iniquity, that is, acting without divine authority. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus makes this very plain when he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," or lawlessness. Jesus tells us that there are only two general sources of authority in spiritual matters, in the realm of religion. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21, and let's look at verses 23 through 27. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one question, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it?" That is, where did it come from? "From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Then why did you not believe him? But if we shall say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet." And Jesus answered and said, they answered Jesus and said, "We know not." And Jesus also said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." So here we find in this context the two sources of authority in religion, either from heaven or from men. That's what Jesus just told us. It's either human authority or it's divine authority. And this is still true today, dear listener. Many people deny today that authority from God is needed for all that man does in religion. This is the attitude of those who either look to themselves as authority or they look to other men. The principles have always been taught from the Creator, and we can go back into the Old Testament to passages such as Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 to see this principle telling us about ourselves in reference to can we make our own way in the religious arena, where there it says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And again in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, where it says, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turning back to the New Testament, we see in Colossians chapter 2, and looking at verses 20 through 22, it's talking there, he's talking to Christians. He says, If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using, after the precepts and the doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and severity to the body, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. Also, turning back to Matthew chapter 15, let's look at in that chapter verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders who were not following God's law at that time correctly, the law of Moses. And there in chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, he says, Well, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts or the commandments of men. So, dear listener, you can see this attitude, and unfortunately this attitude is running rampant in the religious area today. It's even entered into the Lord's church in recent generations. Many practices have been started for which the no scriptural authority exists, and the cry has gone forth, we do not need authority for everything we do religiously. My friends, this is the very opposite of the plea that we have made to other religious people in years past. When we call for book, chapter, and verse for all things, we ask for a thus saith the Lord. But that is no longer so with many churches that are striving or seeking or getting people to believe they're following just the New Testament authority. Failure to recognize the need for authority in religion shows that we have failed to learn a basic Bible principle governing acceptability with God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, where there it says, If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, ministering as the strength with God supplied, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Dear friends, we're limited that when it comes to religion, we can only speak with a thus saith the Lord. We can only speak as the oracles of God. In 1 Corinthians, looking at chapter 4 and verse 6 of that book, as Paul was writing to the brethren at Corinth, and there we find in verse 6, These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written, and no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. So we are not supposed to be going beyond these things that are written. If we speak and act religiously, we must have that authority to do so within God's Word. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to Timothy, Hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, dear listener, there is a pattern. There is that pattern for us to follow religiously today. We may act by human authority, but then it's without authority from God. We cannot do that and have God's approval and fellowship. In 2 John verse 9, this is very clear when the inspired writer says, "Whosoever goes onward and does not abide in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." Yet another scripture warning us and showing us that we can only follow that authority that God has given to us. The need for divine authority was illustrated back in the Old Testament many, many times, and we'll just quickly look at a couple of examples. Go back to Cain and Abel. That's a very good example. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, the account, remember, of Cain and Abel, and there it says, "In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." And so you think about that, and of course, if you go on in the context, Cain got very upset about that, and as a result, he killed his brother Abel. Now, I want you to go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11, and looking at verse 4, because this is very important. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 is talking about what we've just read, of that account between Cain and Abel, and that offering that they made. Both of them made an offering, and so we're told about that activity in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, where it says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness, in respect of his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaketh." So now we understand that what really happened there. You see, we know from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, God told Cain and Abel what to sacrifice. Abel offered what God told him to offer, but Cain did not. And that is why God rejected Cain's offering but accepted Abel's offering, because Abel did according to the commandment of God and Cain did not do according to the commandment of God. It's that simple. The other case I wanted to look at very quickly was Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. They were the priests of the sons of Aaron, so we pick up there verses 1 and 2 of Leviticus chapter 10. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer, and put fire therein, and laid incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before Jehovah, and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. Then Moses said unto Aaron," this is that Jehovah spake concerning, "I will be sanctified in them, will come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified." So as you read on in there, you find out that Nadab and Abihu acted without authority from God, which he had commanded them not. They did something. They got that fire from some other place and they were supposed to get it. God had specified where they were supposed to get that fire. Those who scorn the need for authority in religion today overlook one of the basic lessons taught in the Bible, and that thus they flirt with danger in so doing. Remember the things written aforetime. That was the Old Testament, written for our learning, our admonitions, Romans 15 and verse 4. Let us learn from these examples the need for divine authority for everything we do in religion, dear listener. And I would encourage you to think on these lines, and I will be speaking more about authority in religion in the days to come. I would, though, at this point in time, remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area in the North Belt Highway. Again, we invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, and then 10:20 for morning worship, 4 p.m. in the afternoon for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail or would like to have a home Bible study, please leave your name and phone number at our number, area code 816-279-4737. That's 279-4737, and we will return your call. Continuing then, and some thoughts concerning authority and religion. We mentioned earlier that we understand the need for authority in all realms of life. We noticed a while ago that there are only two sources of authority in religion. It's either human or divine. It's either from God, and if it's not from God, dear listener, it's from men. Matthew 21 and verse 25, Jesus points that out very clearly. One is right, the other is wrong. So how can we know if it is from heaven? Well, first, we have to understand that it must originate with God. And so let's go to James chapter 1 and look at verses 17 and 18. In James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, we read this principle from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by or through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It must originate with God, and we that follow the truth, we are following the truth because we are brought forth by the truth as we respond to it. This same principle has always been taught back in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 46. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. Where there it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." You see, we're talking about our Creator here, and it's His authority that is supreme. It's His authority that we must follow. But how has our Creator spoken to us in these last days? Well, we're told that. If you'd go with me to Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and read verses 1 and 2. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets in divers portions," that's different parts, "and in divers manners," or different ways, "hath at the end of these days," or in these last days, "spoken unto us in," or by, "his Son," or through his Son, "whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Yes, dear listener, today, in this age that we are in, the New Testament age, the Christian age or dispensation, whatever you might want to call it, these last days, as God calls it, Jesus Christ has all authority. And through Jesus Christ, he is God's ordained spokesman. And so we go to passages like Matthew chapter 17. And looking at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 17, and there it says, "While Jesus was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It was Peter that was trying to set up tents for all three, Moses and Elijah, as they met up on the mountain, as we referred to it, the mountain of transfiguration, where they were transfigured. And God the Father, out of this cloud, speaks, and he says, you listen to my Son. I am well pleased. You hear him. You don't listen to the prophets and Moses. Now you listen to Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's pointing out there in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Jesus is the ordained spokesman for us today, not anyone else. God requires that we hearken unto Jesus. And so we see in Acts chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23, this teaching. Looking at verses 22 and 23, the inspired writer is talking about Jesus, and it says there, "Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, dear listener, Jesus Christ is the complete head of the church, which is his body. And thus he directs and guides the movements of that body. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, to see the importance of this. And it's talking about what God the Father has done through Christ. And so picking up at verse 20 of Ephesians 1, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Did you ever realize that the church has no right to teach or practice anything that the head, being Christ, does not direct? That's because Jesus Christ has all authority. And there are many passages that show this. Another real good one is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and through 20. Here Jesus is speaking to those men he selected, the apostles, and he appointed them. Verse 16, and when they worshipped him, and then it goes on down, picking up at verse 18, Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This means that he has all legislative, executive, and judicial authority, dear friend. This is what divine authority is. There's no room for human authority. Notice the contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read verses 18 through 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there we pick up at verse 18. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved or being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to naught. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure, through the foolishness of the preaching, or the thing preached, to save them that believe, seeing that Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the name of means by the authority of. Whatsoever we do in word includes all teaching. In other words, no doctrine is to be taught unless it is authorized by the Lord, unless we can find it in the New Testament. Whatsoever you do in deed, that includes every work the people of God are to do. So God's people are to do only the work that the Lord has authorized. This is how we follow the authority of our Creator. We cannot add to or take away from His word, His authority. As we have said before, some are not content to be restricted by the will of Christ. They teach for doctrines and commandments of the commandments of men, Matthew 15:9. They engage in works of iniquity or lawlessness, as we've read in Matthew 7:23. The fact that whatsoever we do in word or deed must be done in the name of Christ shows the completeness of the authority of Christ. Next, we see that in order for our authority to come from heaven, It must come from Christ through his apostles, and they were guided because they were guided by the Holy Spirit. So let's turn quickly to John chapter 17, and we'll read a few verses here. In John chapter 17, first of all, we'll read verse 18, where it says, "As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world." And in the context, he's talking concerning the men that God had, Father had given him, he had chosen. Let's go back to the 14th chapter, the book of John, 14:26. It says, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you." And then go over to the 16th chapter and verses 13 and 14. And again, specifically looking at this thought, Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come." Now, this whole context, chapter 14, 15, and 16, very clearly showing that it was the men that God chose. Not talking about people today having special supernatural powers. If you go back to verse 26 and 27 of John 15, you can see this very clearly. Again, he makes a statement, "But when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And you also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So, of course, that's very clear to us that he was talking to those specific men he had chosen, the apostles, back in the first century. There are people today that take this and try to get you to believe that God speaks to them, that they're apostles, and they have the Holy Spirit telling them what's right and what's wrong. That's not how God works today. He works through his inspired word, through these men that Jesus himself chose. And the only one born out of due time was the Apostle Paul that Jesus came to as he was traveling to Damascus, you remember. At that time, he was called Saul. Looking at it again, though, to reject Christ is to reject God. And this principle we have to understand in order to follow the authority of Christ correctly. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says there, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father." So in other words, to hear Jesus is to hear God. Going back to the book of John and looking at 48 and 49 of chapter 12, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake shall judge him in the last day. For I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." And likewise, dear listener, to receive the apostles, the apostles is to receive Christ who sent them. And so these are all linked together. The inspired word of God must be followed and applied in our daily lives. If we reject the New Testament, we reject our Savior, we reject our Savior, we reject God the Father, we reject our Creator. I would encourage you to think on these things, study these passages that we went over this morning, and allow only the authority from above to function in your life. Thank you again for tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. Again, we would invite you to Sunday morning services. We have Bible study at 9:30. We have worship at 10:20, and then again in the afternoons, Sunday afternoons at 4, and we meet also Wednesday evenings at 7. Please come and worship with us, study God's Word with us, bring your Bibles. We thank you for listening. God bless you in your search for His truth above all else.